I hope by the end of the service you can say that as well. I know that I'm saved. Number 150, we can say that because number 150 says He lives. Let's stand and sing He Lives. All right, play that again, Steve. They're still looking for it. 150. You found the place of hate. Now let's sing together.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living on every wind. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of fear. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ is. And talked with me, a long way there away. He lives, He lives, salvation through His heart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
In all the world, I see His body there.
And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair.
I know that He is leading through all the stormy night.
The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and comes with me.
Pastor up here on my shoulder is not a good welcome back for him. So let's sing it out on that last verse. When you get to the chorus, just cut loose and sing out. Here we go.
Rejoice, rejoice, and Christian, lift up your voice and sing.
God, I'm glad He's living, not just in heaven, but living in our hearts, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, it's good to be back with you. We had a good week. We really enjoyed the trip. I appreciate my son-in-law and my daughter taking us that way, and we had a great time. We had a little weather issue, and so the first two nights it was a little rough, a little rock and rolly, you know. Now, it didn't bother. I slept like a baby. It just rocked me to sleep. But now Miss Judy had other ideas, and she started thinking about the Titanic and the Poseidon Adventure and the perfect storm, you know. And so finally, about the time she really got kind of wide-eyed, the captain came on and said, "We're going to change direction." And apparently the weather was pretty bad the first morning. There was like hurricane-force winds, even though there was no storms, no rain. No clouds, just, I don't know where it came from, but it was there. And so they turned us around and we went to Mexico. We went across the other side of the Gulf had a good time, though. The last 3 or 4 days were really great, but I would recommend the singing at the sea. If you want to go on a cruise, now the other cruises, you know, they have the gambling and the alcohol. This is alcohol free. The casinos are all closed. It's all Christians on that, you know, great people. Gospel music literally all day long somewhere. I mean, you can hear any kind of group you want to hear. The preaching was wonderful. Brian and I got to go to several services here. Brother Joe Arthur, Brother Chris Rumfeld, and some others. I mean, just great, great, great preaching. And so I recommend that trip highly. I hope you and I get to do it again sometime. It's that good. The Primitive Quartet, we heard them 5 or 6 times, and every time we met in that big theater, there's probably 700 or 800 people in there. We had church.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, folks got to shouting, and yes, Miss Judy got to shouting. So Miss Judy's shout is now known around the world, and she squealed, and Brother Barry Goodman was there. He shouted, and there were several other people just jumped up, started shouting. I'm telling you, it was great, 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 great. And we appreciate your praying for us, and we're glad to be home. Appreciate Brother Steve kind of taking care of things while we were gone. But like I say, I would recommend highly, if you ever want to do something like that, don't go on those other ones where there's all kinds of mess. This thing was just the spirit was good, the whole ship, everything was great. They played they played hymns over the loudspeaker all day long. I mean, no worldly music. I'm telling you, it was absolutely wonderful. And I've got lots of good sun. My head is starting to peel. I do not have dandruff, because there's no hair there to have dandruff on. But anyway, was that good, Azariah? That's pretty good, wasn't it? Anyway, we're so glad to be back with you. Thank you again for praying for us. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon the service. And then the choir will sing another number. Brother Chris Robish, you pray for us, please.
My every need.
testimony song. And I hope again that's true in your life. Well, I appreciate the choir. I think we have some visitors that came in, so we're going to meet them in just a minute. But let's stand. We're going to let you greet each other this morning while the choir comes out.
All right. Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this morning, and thank you for being here. Good to hear folks talking amongst themselves and loving one another. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way we like it here at Anchor. We want to continue to have that good spirit about us. Again, thank you so much for being here this morning. Appreciate, again, your prayers for us while we were away. And, of course, Shelton and Brenda and Jake were with us as well, or had they went. You pray for them. They had car trouble when they got down there. And their transmission went out, so they had to leave the car down there and fly home. And they got to go back next week and pick it up, I guess. So, Shell says no big deal. But anyhow, glad that they are able to get back here okay. Now they just got to get back down there and get the car picked up. Met a lot of folks that we knew and have known. Had one couple that actually visited. He came to Alpine some years ago and then came to Anchor when we started. Reed McAteer, he was at USC, is now the children's director at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Monroe. He married the pastor's daughter, And so they were on the cruise, didn't know they come up on us, and we instantly recognized one another, so we got to see them. Like I said, Brother Barry Goodman was there. Brother Barry pastors up in Shelby, North Carolina. And just all kinds of folks we saw. We had one lady that actually came over to us, and she's from Lexington. And she saw us and came over and kind of sheepishly said, "Are you all from South Carolina?" And, of course, we said, "Yes." She said, "Well, my husband said I was crazy for asking you." He said, "But I'm from anyway, they had actually come years ago when we had the Mark Trammell Quartet over at the other church some years back, and they'd actually come for that. And she recognized Judy and I from way back then. And so we just made a lot of good friends and met a lot of good folks. And everything was just wonderful. I'm telling you, I highly recommend it. I hope Judy and I can do it again sometime. You know, we hope that we don't get that wobbly feeling the first night or two. And it was cold. It was 29 degrees in Tampa, Florida. I mean, who goes to Florida to get cold? And in Key West, which is the southernmost part of the United States, it was in the 40s. I mean, it was cold, windy. The waves are rolling. And we got back on that ship, and boy, that thing was rolling too. I'm telling you, you would have thought we were on a shipload of drunks. The way we was all staggered. I mean, literally, it would just throw you back going in that hallway. I'm telling you, you get on the bed, and you just feel yourself doing like that. I mean, I'm doing it. Shelton back here doing it with me. But it all got straightened out. Everything was fine. And like I say, just the spirit there was so good. Listen to all that good gospel music. I mean, literally, any time of the day you wanted to go hear it, you could find it somewhere. So anyway, we enjoyed it. Well, I got a couple things I want to mention real quickly. First of all, the sad part of that, we had just left, Costa Maya, and apparently there's a man, we were in one of the services, and the captain came on and said that a man on the ship had actually had a heart attack while he was in the bathroom. We had to turn back and go back to Cozumel. That was the closest place to get him some medical help. They got him there, but unfortunately the man passed away while we were making the trip back to Tampa, and so he died. And so I don't know anything about, you know, they wouldn't tell his name, of course, with HIPAA laws and all that, but we were sure saddened to hear about that. And, you know, that it can happen anywhere at any time. And so I hope you'll pray for that family, if you would. Let me just mention a couple things quickly. First of all, we're glad to have the Crawfords. There they are with Ralph. Ralph invited Miss Crawford and her daughter to come to church, and here they are. And we're glad to have them here with us. Appreciate them being here. And then Miss Lisa, you want to introduce your other exchange student?
Right.
Rose, we're glad to have both of these young ladies. Both of them are exchange students, staying with Sister Lisa, and so we're glad to have both of them here with us today. That's wonderful. And let's see, I'm scoping. Brother Leon's here. Good to see Brother Leon back with us. And Brother Raymond, good to see Brother Raymond. He got saved 2 weeks ago. He's had some teeth issues, and now he has that macular degeneration. My mother has the same thing, and they get shots in their eyes for that. I'm telling you, If I ever get that way, somebody's going to have to hit me with a hammer or something. Not because I'm telling you, if they come at my eyeballs with a needle, somebody's going to get hurt, and it's not going to be me. I can promise you that. And so, but I appreciate him being here. God bless you, Brother Raymond. We're glad to see you back with us here this morning. Some folks remember in prayer, Brother Don's son David. Continue praying for him. Pray for Austin Spears, Brother Robert Spears' little girl with the heart issues, Rhonda Hale. Sabine, it looks like maybe first or second week in February she'll be coming home. So Brother Joaquin's excited about that. Brother Jim Robertson, I haven't heard anything. We couldn't, when you get on that ship, you cannot make calls. I mean, you're just out there in no man's land. So I really haven't had a chance hardly to catch up with a lot of things. But Brother Jim is still in the hospital, and he's very broken up. He's got 20 fractured vertebrae in his back, you know, amongst other things. I mean, he fell through that ceiling onto his back. And of course his brother Buzzy just passed away, and they just buried him this week. He couldn't come to the funeral, and so you remember the Robertson family. Then Sister Christie's got her thyroid surgery coming up February 17th. Is that right? 7th. Oh, I put the 17th. I'm glad you told me that. The 7th at Lexington Hospital. So let's be remembering her in prayer. Pretty major surgery. All right? And then Brother Ralph and Sister Edmay's grandson, Tommy, is in the Richland Heart Hospital. Tommy's had, he's been in a wheelchair for about many years, had an accident, and he's paralyzed, and he was living at one time in the basement of their home, and they sold the house, and he's living in a more of an assisted living kind of place. And but he's in the Heart Hospital. He's about, what would you say, Ralph, 42 or 43 years old? 51, okay. You missed it just a little, Ralph, just a little bit. 51. And so Ralph's getting old too. He's getting forgetful, you know. But anyway, pray for Tommy if you would, okay? Then some folks, we always like to recognize folks when they do well. The first one is Jake, right? There he is. Stand up, Jake. Now, you didn't know that we had an athlete in the Starling family. Jake got the bronze medal in the ping pong tournament on the ship. Now, to him, the sad thing is he didn't make the gold medal game because he got beat by a girl. But that's all right. I'll tell you how he made up for it. He ate like a horse on that boat. And look at him. He's just a little. Don't you just hate people like that? I'm telling you, I walked by that deck and gained 5 pounds. And old Jake, he had a good time, made a lot of friends there. That's just, I'm telling you, folks, it's a wonderful trip if you can ever make it. And then Miss Jennifer, stand up there, Miss Jennifer. Yeah, your husband did this. She just was recognized for 30 years at BB&T Bank. So we want to recognize her for that. And she is she's the assistant vice president. So, I mean, we're not dealing with just nobody here. We're dealing with a big shot. And now I know why Tim is so timid around her. He's intimidated, you know. No, we love Jennifer, of course. And man, anytime you can be that long at any job, and she's got a lot of responsibility there, there's a lot of traveling. And so we want to recognize her. Then, one other thing we got to do, got to do it. Marco, stand up there, Marco. Now, first of all, doesn't he look good? Now, there's a reason. There's actually two reasons. One he knows about and one he doesn't know about. One he knows about is today is his 16th birthday. There it is. Now, the one he doesn't know about is I have applications for dates. And... Well, don't sit down now. I'm trying to make the pitch. Man, you don't hide the product when you're doing the commercial. I'm just teasing, Marco. he looks like, if I know he's going to do that, I wouldn't even have showed up. But anyway, let's sing happy. Stand up again, Mark. We got to sing to you now. Sing to him. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right, God bless you, Marco. Now, I was kidding about the second thing, but if you want to talk to me about it, I'll be out there. We'll sign you up, all right? You look great, buddy. You do. You sure do. All right, come on, Brian. You got some announcements for us?
All right, this afternoon at 4:30, our usual time will be choir practice, followed by the evening service at 5:30. So come make your way out. Wednesday night is prayer meeting, 7 o'clock, right here as always. And we got on Saturday, we have opportunities for literally everyone in this church to do something. So the men are meeting at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, men and young men, to go out door knocking for sewing Saturday. And the ladies, for First Ladies Jubilee Planning Meeting, is this Saturday, also at 10 a.m. So, hey, that you men, you just drive your wives here, and then by the time, and you go door knocking, by the time you get back, they'll probably be about done with their ladies' meeting. They might be talking a little bit. You might have to wait. I'm not going to make any promises. But so those are two opportunities for you to be of service. So the men door knocking on Saturday and the ladies' Jubilee planning meeting, the first one, by the way, 10 a.m. this Saturday.
All right, 417, another testimony song. I remember when my burdens rolled away. Let's stand. 417. right, sing out now.
I remember when my burdens rolled away. I had carried them for years, night and day. When I sought the blessed Lord and I took Him at His word, then at once all my burdens rolled away. Roll away, roll away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. Feared would never leave night or day. Jesus showed to me the lost, so I left them at the cross. I was glad when my burdens rolled away. Roll away, roll away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. Roll away, roll away.
I hate to stop you on a song this good. I'll tell you what, I am what? Happy. And pastor's got to sing in just a minute. He's got to preach in just a minute. And most of you don't look real happy. Okay? So let's think back about the time our burdens rolled away. Let's sing the last verse and show it on your face. Okay? The last verse together.
I am singing since my burdens rolled away. There's a song today. Night and day, I am living for my King, and with joy I shout and sing, hallelujah, all my burdens roll away. Roll away, roll away, I am happy since my burdens roll away. Roll away, roll away, I am happy since my burden rolled away.
Good singing. You can be seated.
Amen. All right, let's have the ushers to come forward. We'll take care of the offering this morning. And again, opportunity to give something to the Lord today. Appreciate your good giving. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the offering. Brother Rick Richardson, you pray for the offering, please. Before I sing this morning, I want to commend you again on the Sunday school attendance. We had 67 in Sunday school, so we're still above average. Our goal for this year is to have an average 60 in Sunday school. We're already well above that already for all three or four Sundays. This is the last Sunday in January. And our goal for Sunday morning is 100. I think we're at about 86 right now, and we've got some people out, so we need to work hard inviting people to come. And again, it's not about the numbers, but you know, if they're here, Jimmy Rose always said, I can't get into the altar if you don't get them in a seat. And Brother Jimmy's so humble, he's talking about the Lord, of course, the Spirit of God. It's hard to get people to walk the aisle when you're preaching to empty chairs. And so let's work real hard this coming week. Don't forget about your track count, if you've been giving out tracks, and I hope you have. We got to get with it. We got to average 2,000 tracks a month to meet our goal for this year, and we're only right now at 700 and something. So I mean, that means we got to give out about 1,300 tracks between now and Wednesday. We better get busy, but let's really work hard and reach that goal for the new year. All right, but I do want to commend you on your attendance. thus far, and let's continue to work as well on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, being faithful to the house of God. Well, I didn't know I was singing until on the way home last night. Brian said, "Oh, by the way," and that's usually how I get it, "Oh, by the way." And so I thought, well, I really don't have time to prepare anything, so might as well sing a song that's kind of a theme song for the week. Amen. Ship ahoy. You listen to the word. I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side there I dimly descried a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy, ship ahoy." And loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy." 'Twas the old ship of Zion, the sailing alone. All on board her seemed joyous, I heard their sweet song. And the captain's kind ear, ever ready to hear, caught my wail of distress as I cried out in fear. "Ship ahoy, ship ahoy," as I cried out in fear, "Ship ahoy." The good captain commanded a boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion he took me on board. And I'm happy today, all my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior, and now I can say, "Bless the Lord, bless the Lord." From my soul I can say, "Bless the Lord." While we were on this trip, Bethany told about that she'd heard or read about a young man, a college student, who was on a cruise ship. And apparently he had been having some difficulty, and so he decided to commit suicide by jumping overboard. And he jumped overboard, and a lot of times they say that if you jump from that high, when you hit water, it's like hitting concrete. Well, he hit the water, but it did not kill him. He survived. Nobody knew he had jumped off the ship for several hours, so the ship was now out of sight. And for 38 hours, 30 plus hours, he was floating in the Atlantic Ocean. 38 hours, that's a day and a half. And the way Bethany tells us, I did not read it myself, she was telling us, that about the time he was ready to give it, and by this time he had decided that he'd made a mistake, that he shouldn't have done what he'd done. Well, unfortunately, sometimes when you do things like that, it's too late to go back. I don't know why the Lord protected this young man, but anyway, after about 38 hours in the dark, and I'm telling you folks, on the ocean at night, when it's cloudy, it's dark. And finally, a Russian freighter happened by, and somehow they caught sight. Now, the boy had no flotation device. He didn't have a raft. He didn't have a light. It's just him in that water. Somehow they saw him, and they picked him up. Now, I don't know how the story came out after that. I hope that young man went to church that Sunday and got saved. I'm telling you, if there's ever a reason to thank God for saving your life, it would have been that young man. Now, you may be sitting here, you're not in that place. Maybe you are. The whole point of this thing is that here it is, Sunday morning, sun bright, daylight. You can see where you're going. You know what you're doing. But I'm telling you, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are in darkness. In fact, Jesus Himself said, I am the light of the world. The reason people don't get saved is because they love their darkness. But I'm telling you, there may come a day, if you die without Jesus and you wind up in hell, and you decide, I guess I made a bad mistake, I should have done that. The only problem is, nothing will come by to rescue you. If you die and go to hell, you'll be there forever and ever and ever without hope. So I hope you'll think about that today. I'll sing the last verse to you. I thought that story was very appropriate for this song. Oh, soul sinking down neath life's merciless wave, the strong arm of our captain is mighty to save. So just trust Him today and no longer delay. Board the old ship of Zion and shout on your way. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Shout and sing on your way. Jesus saves. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. Amen. Get your Bibles out this morning, if you would. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2, page 1251. You have a Scofield Bible. I heard Brother Tommy Turner, who pastors up in Pickens, WTI. This has been many weeks ago, and I happen to be in my office. And usually when I'm in my office doing anything, I turn on WTBI. And he happened to be on, and I didn't catch the entire, he's only on for 15 minutes, but he was preaching a message, and he said something in the message that really kind of struck me. Here's what he said. Let me find where my, yeah, here it is. He said, we can draw as nigh to God as we want to, and God will draw as nigh to us as we want Him. Think about that. Many people picture God as something or somebody way out there that's unreachable. That there has to be some miraculous epiphany for you to even consider, or God consider even knowing who you are. Yet the Bible tells us plainly, for God so loved the world, meaning that He knows everyone. He knows you this morning. If you're here, doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what your social status is, doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, black or white, makes absolutely no difference. The Bible didn't say, for God so loved a certain bunch. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave. Now, why would anyone who is unreachable and unattainable, and by the way, dead, not what the world thinks he is, why would anybody like that go to the trouble of not only loving you, but then sending and giving His only begotten Son to die for you? That doesn't sound to me like someone who is uncaring. That doesn't sound like someone to me who could care less how the human race destroys itself. Sounds to me like He's someone who loves us. And so it is of a truth, and I thought about the text here, and so I tried to put a little message together on this thought, being made nigh the blood of Christ. Now the word nigh simply means close. We all know in human relationships that the idea is to be close. And the more you know someone, the closer you become. I learned this years ago, different kinds of friendships. There is an acquaintance. You meet someone. I made a lot of quote-unquote friends on the boat this week, having most met them for the first time. But we talked. We were in the van coming back, trying to get back to our van to come home yesterday. And Brother Mark Deibler was on the van. I didn't know he was on the van. He was sitting in front of me, and I didn't know it was him. And his daughter was sitting by Judy, and Judy just happened to say, you know, where are you from? Pickens. Oh, well, we're from South Carolina. And said, what church do you go to? She said, Bible Baptist Church. She said, by the way, my dad's the pastor, and that's him sitting in front there. That's Mark Deibler. Well, years ago,
Brother Steve, remember, we went and sang. The Alpine Quartet went and sang at their church years ago. His Matt Diver's brother, who used to sing with the Inspirations. And he wrote that song, Resurrection Morn. Mark Diver wrote that song. I leaned up, Ben talked to him, and he recognized me, and I recognized him. And so, and we haven't seen each other for many years, but I would consider Brother Mark, now, of course, he's a Christian, so he's my brother in the Lord, a little different probably, but having, not living around him and seeing him, that's the first time I've seen him probably in 10 years, 15 years. And the point is that I consider him an acquaintance, someone that I can talk to, someone that I'm not terribly close to. Now, it would be up to me. If I wanted to get closer to Brother Mark Deidler, that would take phone calls, it would take email, it would take communication. Then there are what are called close friends. Many, in fact, all of you here I consider to be close friends. I may not know everything about you, and you don't know everything about me, and truth be told, we wouldn't want each other to know everything about each other, would we? But we pray for one another, and we enjoy each other's fellowship, and we do know something about the family and know something about your circumstance and vice versa. So we would consider each other close friends. But then you have what many would call a best friend. And most of us may have one or two. In fact, they say if you have more than two best friends in your life, you're doing well. Most people don't even have one. Because those are people that you can literally put your life in their hands. Perfect Bible example of that would be David. And Jonathan. I was going to say Solomon. I knew that one, right? Jonathan. And the Bible said that their love went beyond the love of a woman. Now, there's nothing wrong. There was nothing sinful. Nothing. You know, the world likes to take things like that and so make it wicked. They were not in any way homosexual. I want to punch somebody when they say stuff like that. But they were such close friends. They literally the Bible tells more than once that David put his life in Jonathan's hand. And vice versa, Jonathan knew that his daddy, Saul, wanted to kill David for no good reason except he was jealous of David's spirit. And Jonathan said, when I hear something, I'll let you know. Now, that way they sort of protected one another. And those are great friends to have. But I'm telling you, the Bible says that Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I mean, you take all your friends in whatever category you want to put them in. I'm telling you that you do not have a friend like Jesus. I want to give you a few thoughts today on being made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, we know that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You can't get close to God unless you go through the blood. Now let me just say about the blood quickly by way of introduction, that the blood of Christ is a cleanser. What does it do? The song says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so the blood of Jesus, the Bible said, cleanseth us from all sin. And so if you're here today without Christ, you are living in sin. I may not know one thing about your life. I'm not talking about particular sin, things that you do in the body. I'm talking about the sin of unbelief. One sin, I believe that to be the unpardonable sin. Because every sin you commit when you get saved and will ever are forgiven. Is that right? The Bible said your sins are gone. But if you never believe in Christ, if you reject Jesus, then God cannot forgive you for rejection. And if you die without Christ, there is no opportunity for God to forgive you. I think that's the unpardonable sin. And so if you're here today without Christ and you leave here that way, then you cannot blame anyone for your destiny in the future except yourself. So the blood of Christ is a cleanser. Then I want to say number two, the blood of Christ is a closer. Sure, what do you mean? The Bible said, as far as the east is west, so far are my sins removed. I'm saying that when the blood of Christ is applied to your life, thank God, He closes the door to your wicked past. Because the Bible said that He does not remember. When He forgives us of our sin, all of our sins, past, present, and future, are all forgiven. And God cannot remember sin. Now, we all have a past. And most of us, if not all of us, are certainly ashamed. some of the things in our past. And let me say, Satan will be more than happy to drag those skeletons out of your closet to try to discourage you and to destroy you. But I want to say that when you go to God, if I sin today and I say, God, I did it, I'm sorry, forgive me. And I know the Bible said if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, then I know it's gone. According to the Bible, it's gone. Satan certainly would like to remind us of that. He does. I want to say that the blood of Jesus is not only a cleanser, a closer, but the blood of Jesus Christ is clearer. What do you mean? I'm telling you, David said in his pre-saved condition, the book of Psalms, he said that when God saved him, He snatched his feet out of a miry clay. If you're lost here today without Christ, you know what you're doing in life. You're slogging. That's a word. Slogging. You know what that? You ever got hung up in the mud? You pull so hard to pull your shoe off. You wear a boot, it'll pull your boot off. And they say the more you tussle, the deeper it gets. You know, that's how you're living this life if you don't know Christ as your Savior. You're just simply trying to get through it the best way you can. Every once in a while you strike a little dry ground and you sort of get your footing and say, well, I'm okay. And you take two more steps and you're right back in the same old mess. Let me tell you something. That's what religion will do for you. Religion will provide you a little dry spot to keep you deceived about the mud. And then all of a sudden, guess what? You're right back in it where you started. And you can't get out. And the more you get in it, and the more deceived you are about it, the deeper and deeper and deeper you go until finally you cannot get out unless someone rescues you. And I want you to know, I'm introducing you to someone today who can snatch your feet out of the miry clay. David knew who he was. He was Jesus. Hey, if you're saved today, He has taken you from that wicked life of sin. And the Bible said, He set my feet upon a rock. We talked about that in Sunday school. Hey, Jesus is the rock. He's the rock of Horeb. He's the rock where the water comes from. He's a sure foundation. He's the stepping stone of your life. And you never have to worry about sinking when you know Jesus. He said, He snatched my feet out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. And listen, here's the clearer. Ever seen somebody going through the jungle with a machete? Boy, they got to hack their way through. If they can't find a path, boy, they just start hacking away. And usually there's somebody behind them, hoping that they can clear a path. And boy, they'll hack away until finally they get to an open place. I'm telling you, you're trodging, clogging, slogging through the jungles of this life, and you think you got it by the tail, but I'm telling you, you'll get born again, Jesus will go before you, the Holy Ghost will go before you, and He'll take the spiritual machete of the Word of God, and He'll cut a path for you, He'll clear a way for you, where not only you can go to heaven when you die, but you can enjoy living while you're still here. Egypt was once my home. I was a slave. Helpless in sin did roam. Love light did crave. But when I looked up to heaven's dome, Christ came to save. And I'm living in Canaan now. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus is a clearer to clear your way. I didn't say it'd be perfect way, but it's sure a lot easier to walk through life when at least you know where you're going. Now, let's read the text real quickly. I'll just give you the message briefly this morning. You can remain seated. I won't have you stand even right now. Listen, here's what the Bible said in verse 11 of chapter 2. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, that's Ephesians 2 verse 11, are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. This is the differentiation between the Jew and the Gentile. That thing of circumcision. Now, in modern times, male babies are circumcised regularly. But that all that's changed since the Bible's been completed. That no longer has the meaning that it had in the Scripture times. The Bible does say that there's a differentiation between those who think they belong and those who do belong. Notice the Bible said in verse 12 that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Friend, don't leave here today lost. Don't leave here without hope. You'll leave here without any, you'll have no future without Christ. I'm telling you. Boy, I've been saved 43 years. I wish I'd have got saved sooner. I'm telling you, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I'm not believing in idols. I'm not believing in false gods. Listen, my God's not dead. He's alive. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. This is what the Bible said. Now hurry. Verse 13, and I'll just stop here. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, look, are made close. Hey, I'm not an acquaintance of the Father. I don't introduce my children as my acquaintances. I don't introduce my wife as a close friend. She's my best friend. But she knows, and I know, that I've got an even better friend, if there is such a word. It may not be good English, but it's good preaching. Say amen right there. I've got a better friend than her. And she's got a better friend than me. Because I'm human and I fail. But I want you to know He has never failed. Being made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hey, we need to remember, we personally need to remember where we came from. Sure we do. We don't glory in our past. You know, things that I did in my past, you know, even when you get around folks that are living that way, you don't want to joke about it, and you don't want to talk to them like it was good times. If it was good times, why'd you get saved from it? I do something I like. When I go to Cracker Barrel, I eat the same thing all the time. You know why? Because I know it's good. Somebody said, why don't you try something? Listen, I'm telling you, my son-in-law is sharp as a tack. I mean, he is on the ball, man. But he eats some of the weirdest stuff. He eats octopus, arms, snails. Yeah. Can you imagine that? They brought him, he ordered escargot. That's French for slimy snails. They put it in a plate and there were six of them separated around. I told him, it looks like you're eating off a hubcap. What he was plucking out of there looked like something getting hung up in the hubcaps. Amen right there. He said, don't you want to try it? I said, absolutely not. You've got to broaden your horizons. I said, my, caught enough already without eating snails. Say amen right there. We need to remember where God brought us from, and we need to rejoice in where God is taking us. You realize it's all about Him, don't you? You realize you're here this morning because of the Lord? Appreciate Miss Crawford and her daughter being here. She said, you know, Ralph Hale invited, did you say detective? You knew him when he was a detective? You just met? Okay, so you didn't even know who he was till you went, okay, there you, well, listen, he may have to serve, but I'll tell you some stuff. It came because Ralph invited them. Now, would we consider them close friends? No, they're acquaintances. They met in a grocery store. Do you know what? As God's people, we have the great opportunity, even when we make an acquaintance, offer them something that a stranger would never offer. You just meet somebody in the grocery store. Hey, how you doing? My name, you squeezing melons? I'm looking at oranges. You talk a minute, and that's where it ends. You know, now, if you said, what are you doing? Well, I'm checking out these cantaloupes. And you said, well, listen, I'd like to give you $10,000. Yeah. Now, that would speed up the relationship. Say amen right there. That doesn't happen. Here they are, meet the grocery store, total stranger. Listen, I'd like to invite you to my church. I went over and introduced myself, and she told me her name. I said, do you live in the area? She said, no. She said, they invited me to come to church at the grocery store, and I thought I'd come. Now, let me tell you what that will start, relationship. I don't know anything about Miss Crawford, her daughter. First time I've ever laid eyes on her. I don't know what their needs are, but I tell you, there's a God in heaven who does. Thank God there was an acquaintance at a grocery store who thought enough not to offer them anything but the opportunity just to come to church and hear the gospel. Let me give you this real quickly. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says this, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Give me about 4 minutes, and I'll get through this. Notice number one in the text, the desire of our past. That's right. Joaquin, you got me on the timer? Back here looking at it. So good to keep me on time. It's on my nerves, but he's good to do it. Verse number one, look at verse 11, the identification. The identification. I'm talking about the desire of our past. The Bible said, wherefore, remember at ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. You know what we were before we got saved? We were heathen. So that word Gentile means pagan. It means a heathen. It means somebody. And by the way, you can be religious and be a heathen. Because the whole point of that word there in the Bible, being a heathen or a pagan, is someone who does not know God, capital G. Not a God, but the God. That's how we identify ourselves. Where'd you come from? You can tell me your whole life story, but when I say, you know, you go to heaven when you die, and you say, well, I'm not sure, or no, I'm not, then guess what? That makes you a heathen. Not in an ugly term. It's a Bible word. I was, before I got saved. You know what I was? I was a Baptist heathen. I went to church. I went to Sunday school. I sang in the choir. I went to Christian school. I won preaching contests at school. I was a heathen. That was able to perform. When I was 17, God said, you heathen, you better get saved or you'll go to hell. That church pew. And boy, I said, I believe I'll get saved. Boy, things are different now, Brother Leon. I'm talking about the identification. Look at verse 12. There's the isolation. The Bible said that at time past, you were without Christ. You realize you may have friends around. You may have a whole family, a raft of friends around you. If you don't know Jesus, you're all alone. You know, sinners be in a room full of people and be alone. Do you know what the Bible says about a believer? Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. I can be in a room all... Listen, in that room where Judy and I, in our stateroom, it didn't have a porthole. It was an interior of the ship. So there are no windows. And you go to bed at night, turn the light out. I'm telling you, you talk about dark. But I like it that way. Darker the better for me. I sleep much better in the dark. But you got to be careful about getting up and go to the bathroom. Especially in a room about the size of this pulpit right here. I'm telling you, you'll break your neck. You know what? Being in that dark room, I wasn't alone. Judy was there, of course. There was one afternoon, man, I said, I'm going back to the room. I said, I think I'll lay down and take a nap. What did he do, Don? Boy, I laid down and turned the light out. Boy, it was just as dark at 1 o'clock in the afternoon as it was at midnight. Judy come in, didn't know I was in there. It was dark, and she started turning the light and said, hello. She said, ah! You know why? Because you can't identify things in the dark. That's what, folks? Your religion will not identify you if you die in the darkness of your lostness. I tell you, folks, that's the desire of our past. Notice the condemnation in verse 12. The Bible said, at time past, you without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Please don't leave here without Christ. It'd be the worst decision you've ever made. How many of you here that have made your decision for Christ say, that was the best decision I ever made? Boy, listen, you can't do anything that'll even come close to topping getting saved, because everything else is a result of getting saved. Number two, let me give you quickly, notice the deliverance from our past. Verse number 13, the Bible said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hey, we find in this verse the transition. We were afar off, but we're made nigh. You know what happens? Something got a hold of you and brought you closer. The Bible word for that is the word reconciliation. See, God's up here and He's always going to be up here. We're way down here because we're sinful. God's not going to dumb Himself down to get to us. But you know what He did? He sent His Son to save us so He could bring us up to Him. That's reconciliation. That's being made nigh by the blood of Christ. I am no longer a child of the devil. I'm a child of the Father. It's the transition. Then notice, there's the transaction. How did it happen? By the blood of Christ. Not joining the church, not getting baptized, not praying three times a day, not doing whatever it is your religion tells you to do. It's by being washed in the blood. Then notice the timing of it. But now. Not later. Not when you get better. Not when you've lived your life and decide, okay, I don't have anything else to do. I might as well be a Christian. No, He said, now, today is the day of salvation. Speaking of the last thing, and I'm through. Find the desire of our past, deliverance from our past, and finally, the delight in our provision. The Bible said in verse 14, for He is our peace. Hallelujah. When the boats are rocking and are rolling, you can say, man, I'm okay. Why, those disciples said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And they woke Him up. And He said, oh, ye of little faith. He said, I didn't come to sink in a boat. He said, I came to die on a cross. Be worried about. Quit worrying. I got it under control. You see, there's a barrier abolished here in verse 14 and 15. We have peace. We have broken down the middle wall of partition. Right now, your sin is keeping you from God. If you'll get saved, all that sin goes away. And guess what? Now you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Then notice there's a body established in verse 16. That He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. having slain the enmity thereby. I'm telling you, you can be one of God's family today by saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You can be established into the body of Christ. And finally, notice the bridge that's furnished. 17. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. So I'm nigh to God, but I need a little preaching once in a while too. And then the Bible said finally, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. An old gospel song that says that you get to heaven, that God built a bridge with three nails and two pieces of wood. It's an engineering miracle, isn't it? That we can get from hell to heaven on a bridge made out of three nails and two pieces. That's called Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, fearing not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. You know him today. Have you been to Calvary? You know there's room at the cross for you. Though millions may come, there's still room for one. If you want to get saved today, you can come and trust Christ as your personal Savior. What a good way to end the month of January, by getting born again. Christian, if you're saved, you know what you ought to do? Now listen, we still need to draw an eye to God. We're not close enough. We're not as close as we ought to be. Every day when we sin and mess up, it kind of knocks us backwards. We got to get close again. You know how that is. You know when you do something that breaks trust in a relationship, it takes work to get back there, doesn't it? See, that's the whole point. It takes years to get there and moments to destroy it. Christian, we got to live right. We got to finish right. We got to finish better than we started. And the only way, Brother Tommy Turner said,
we can draw as close to God as we want to, and he will draw as close to us as we want him. Father, we love you today. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses, that closes, that clears. God, I am what I am by the grace of God and through the blood of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Father, I pray young and old will consider their eternal position. What is their relationship with God, Jehovah God? The only God, the only true God. The Bible said in Isaiah, I am God and above me there is no other. I'm glad I know the only true God. My, how you blessed my soul and blessed my life and blessed my family and blessed my church. Lord, there's somebody here that needs Jesus today. Now, Lord, I can't force them. I wouldn't dare. Lord, if the Holy Ghost of God has that opportunity to speak to their heart, and there's something going on inside of their self that says, you know, what that man said, I don't believe I've ever heard it like that before. Maybe there's something to this thing about his God. I'm telling you, there's everything about my God. And if they'll just come and say, Lord, be merciful. They don't have to pay for it. They don't have to work for it. They don't have to be smart for it. They don't have to be a certain color or certain religion for it. They just have to come and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that his blood can cleanse me. And I want to be a Christian. I want to be born again. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, I pray if there's someone here lost, save them before it's too late. Lord, if there's a Christian here whose relationship with God could be closer, and Lord, I'm the first to say mine can certainly be closer. So Lord, speak to our hearts. May they come to this altar and say, Lord, I just want to be closer to you. I want to get closer to you, and I want you to get closer to me. And have that wonderful, wonderful, victorious relationship with the Creator of the universe. Father, bless this invitation, I pray in Christ's name.